You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network. Welcome to Prosperity for God's People, brought to you by ChristianTraders.com, the Internet's fastest growing Christian investment community, created just for you, the Christian investor.
Everybody's happy.
Striving for excellence in Christian talk radio, excellence in the world financial markets, and most of all, excellence in your personal walk with God.
Broadcasting live
from the CFRN studios in beautiful downtown Phoenix, Arizona.
Tuesday, 20th day of December, 2010. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Isaiah 26:3. Now that's a huge concept, perfect peace. That's something this world, since the garden, has never known. We've talked about it, wrote about it, crafted songs about it. There are bumper stickers and t-shirts and headbands. You see it everywhere. There's a little symbol that has a lot of controversy behind it. What does it really mean? Is it a broken cross turned upside down? Is it demonic? Is it satanic? Shalom. Peace. But we're talking about perfect peace. Now, there has been some peace since the garden. There have been countries that have stopped warring with each other for periods of time. Occasionally, you and your wife stop fighting long enough to get through Thanksgiving dinner. You know? Sorry, bad example, but I know some of you can relate. You know, there's peace treaties and periods of peace, but man, the scripture here is talking about perfect peace. Do we even understand what perfect means? Much less peace? Put them together in the same sentence, perfect peace? Make a phrase out of it, make a concept, an idea, a way of living and believing. It's huge. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Now, I'm going to be honest, this perfect peace thing, I've got a bit of a tough time myself really wrapping my little two-watt brain around the whole thing. So, let's take a deep, relaxing breath. Let's try to just imagine what that would be like. Not just in the world, but in our home. In our place of business. In our place of worship. In our heart. In our mind. I know it's a stretch. It's really hard to imagine that. But it's the very thing that God is promising us in this scripture. He's promising us that He'll give us perfect peace if we trust in Him. And that's really what it comes down to. Trusting in Him. Or, what do you believe? How's that list coming? Remember the list you were going to make about what you believe? Not what you say you believe, or profess to believe, or pretend you believe, but what you actually believe. See, if you actually believe, then you're actually able to trust, and if you can really trust, then you can have perfect peace. Why? Well, because God is trustworthy. He's not a man that He would lie. He can actually be trusted. You know, back in the 80s, there was a lot of these little financial institutions called like First Savings and Trust. Guess what? Turns out you couldn't trust them. They went belly up, along with your money or your parents' money or maybe your grandparents' money. What can I tell you? Men are men, but God, there's only one of them. And the good news is he can be trusted. Now, trusting in God is more than just saying we trust God. Isaiah, in this scripture, qualifies the kind of trust we need to obtain this idyllic concept of perfect peace, which is very much achievable. What we can't imagine is the road to get there. It's the trust that keeps our thoughts focused on God, not on the world, not on our problems, not on our issues, not on our ears that are a little too big, or our nose that's a little crooked, or our checkbook that's a little thin, but on God, fixed on his love, fixated on his compassion, freaked out by his grace, focused on his provision, feeding on his promises, fixed on his almighty power. And I encourage you today, join me in experiencing God's perfect peace. It's Christmas time. Everybody loves to get gifts. This is a gift from the creator of the universe, your creator, the very one who put life in your body. He's offering you a gift this Christmas season. He's saying, I give you perfect peace. But you've got to trust me. So let you and I start right now, this day, by fixing our thoughts on him and keeping them there throughout the entire day. Let's meditate, you and I, together on the Word of God all day. Write this on the tablet of your heart. I live in God's perfect peace. Fix that in your thoughts throughout the day. Repeat that to yourself. Out loud even. Slowly. Thinking about it when you say it. You might want to make sure nobody else is around, but then again, maybe not. If you live in Phoenix, Arizona, there's lots of people on the street corner that talk to themselves, so it's not that big of an issue here. But I live in God's perfect peace. That's a statement of fact, okay? Rather than, I wish I could. Man, it sure would be nice. Wouldn't that be huge? How about just make the statements? You know, believing God's word. Speak it out of your mouth. I live in God's perfect peace. Say it. Say it out loud. Pause as you're saying it. Let each word hang in the air. Let God fill your mind with images and sensations of his greatness, because he is a great God. And friend, as you do, just simply allow it to happen. Allow his peace to fill your heart, to fill your mind. Just focus and fix your thoughts on his love, his compassion, his grace, his almighty power. And just keep saying it. No matter what happens, no matter how hurried or scurried or busy or worried you may get, just say, you know what? Today, I'm living in God's perfect peace. I'm accepting the gift that he offers me, not just this Christmas season, but every day of the year. Father, we come before you today in prayer. Thank you for this day, for all that it holds, God. Jesus, I'm asking you to help me to trust in you by focusing my attention on you and all that you'll provide me through this day. Lord, when my thoughts wander, when peace starts to flee, nudge me, kick me in the backside. Whatever it takes, God, I'm asking you to do that. Simply to help me to refocus on you again so that I can know your perfect peace. God, I thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, friends. Welcome to this fine Tuesday pre-holiday edition of Prosperity for God's People. So glad you could join us. Let's have a, well, we can't really look at the numbers because the market hasn't opened yet. And we're getting going a few minutes early today. Cut back on the videos. Michael's got to leave early for an appointment. We already talked to you yesterday about the fact that the programming this week is going to be short and sweet. And Michael's going to have to head out here shortly and sweetly to go to his appointment. So let me just check and see if he's in the room so he can come in and say good morning. There he is. Make him an organizer. Okay. So, how you guys doing? I see there's not a huge crowd. No one expected me to actually show up on time today, so that's okay. I'm not offended. I'm a realist. Yeah, I realize it's about 7:30 before we get going normally. But you know what? That's okay. The market on the overnight, well, let's back up to yesterday. We can do that. Okay, let's get back here to Sunday night on the Globex session, the 12:35-36 weekly trading zone gave the market support on the downside. We're on the 10,000 contract chart. We only traded 20,000 contracts at that level. And then we took off. We made it to the 12:44-45 off the back of the London session. We traded, we'll call it another 20,000 contracts right in that area. And then over the course of yesterday's session, we drifted lower. Support at the 35-36 weekly trading zone, again, for the second time. So, is this a double bottom? Not exactly. It's more of, I suppose, something like this. And then, as the day progresses, we come up and we tag the 44-45 weekly trading zone on the upside again. So now we put in kind of a double top, but is that really a double top? I don't know. Let's see what this does. Let's pop up a new parallel. Let's grab that. Let's go here. Ooh. If we do that. Even if we do that. But we'll do that. We have now. Okay, let's keep going. We pull back into the 41-42 weekly trading zone on the overnight. I mean, is this kind of like history repeating itself? We'll pull back on the overnight. We rally off the London Open. We pull back into the 41-42 weekly trading zone. We bounce higher. And as we sit here quietly, about 10 minutes before the open in Chicago and New York, we are just above the 12:44/45 weekly trading zone. We've got a blue MA1 on the 10K chart. We're above the 21-period EMA. Let me take a look. We have one more level above us for the week. 51 and 52. Now, just because we don't broadcast on Thursday doesn't mean the levels won't be valid, won't be in play. Now, here's a good scenario. Look where this top of this price channel intersects with the 5152. If we're going there today, could happen right in this area. If the 4142 is going to be support off the open, look for that to happen, potentially somewhere right through here. Now, that trade of the week, okay, that big picture trade that I posted on the blog. Hey, good morning, Michael. Oh, that must have been Bert.
Jacob Wynn.
Hey, buddy. Or maybe I'm just imagining things. Okay.
I do that.
All right. I just want to point this out, guys, real quick. This trade here that we talked about on Sunday night, this is like our Christmas gift to you if it comes into play, to ourselves. I mean, we would love this. To get into the market at 1225 with a stop just below 1220, to get long at 25 for a rally into the end of the year. We talked about it yesterday. If you read the thing in its entirety, it says, if the opportunity should present itself. Okay, there's no indication yet that the opportunity is going to present itself. And I got to tell you this, if the market drops going into Christmas down to that 25 area, okay, there are going to be a lot of people bailing out of positions, and it's only the brave and courageous that are going to step in and buy at 25. But I guarantee you there are going to be some people that will step in at 25 and buy. If they do, will it be enough to push the market higher? Well, only time will tell. I don't have a crystal ball. I just see that as a very good place to get long this market. Now, that doesn't expire on Christmas Day. Weekly trading zones, they expire end of the week. Next Monday, we'll have a fresh set of weekly trading zones. However, until that 1225 price is touched, that's a place that we look to get long the market. Now, if it pushes out past the beginning of the new year, it will start to lose some of its attraction for us. But right on up until New Year's Eve, we will buy the market at 1225 if price gets there and confirms, and we see the potential to be in a long trade into the end of the year. Now, if it's a couple of hours before the market's closed for the new year, then maybe not so much. If it happens today or tomorrow or even up through Wednesday of next week, the potential for that to be a great trade, I think, is there. So keep your eyes on it. But as I wrote in that post, manage it well. Keep a firm stop in, a hard stop. The upside potential is good, but you only want to risk what you can afford to risk. And my suggestion is no more than 6 to 7 points on that trade, depending upon where your entry is. If you let it confirm at the 25 and you catch it on the way up, the closer you catch it to 25, the better off that trade will be. Again, if the opportunity presents itself, and we don't yet know that that's going to happen. So, Bert, how are you seeing things this morning?
Actually, all quiet on the Western Front for the most part.
Yeah.
I didn't expect the energy like this overnight. Frankly speaking, I don't see anything really, eye-popping, to constitute a 5 or 6 point rally here,
You're talking about, so, well, here's the thing. Can you see my charts from where you are?
Yes.
Okay.
You okay?
That wasn't me.
Oh, that was Mike?
That was me. Did you force the charts onto me?
No.
No?
That's weird. We just heard the sound.
It sounded like you fell down.
No. I lifted up my headset and I put it on, and then I realized it was live.
So, Bert, this rally that you're referring to, here's what's interesting about this. Price sold off on the overnight down to the 4142 weekly trading zone.
Right.
And then this rally really consisted of 10, 20, 30,000 contracts.
Wow.
Now we've gone sideways, so that whole to get from where we were to where we are, it only took 30,000 contracts to move price the distance you just spoke about. Now we've gone sideways for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100,000 contracts. So from the low last night to the high today, we've got 130,000 contracts under our belt. That's it.
Yeah, and so like we were saying in the blog, it's not going to take much energy to kick it around.
Yeah, yeah, you said that well.
Yeah.
You sure did.
So here we go. It's coming into our living rooms.
So how are you seeing things, Michael?
So far, crude's had some nice moves. The 6E's had a couple of moves. You just explained everything about the ES.
Yeah.
Can I push you the chart so you can show the crude real quick?
Sure.
And then I know you got to take off here pretty quick.
I'll take them. Hang on.
I thought if it got up to 51 or 52 the first time up, I was going to sell it regardless. That was my general thought. I thought that might be an over-exaggeration to the upside. All right, here's crude oil.
Oh, I know what it was. When you made me an organizer, that my mic had been muted. When you made me an organizer, it came to life.
Gotcha.
That's what happened. All right. Here's the crude. Let me blow it up so we can take a better look at it.
Homeland Security just keyed in on that.
There we go. Just a few minutes ago, this was a move down here from 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We had a nice move down. Hit support, went right through it. That was the broken support, or failed support, Bert, that we were talking about yesterday.
Right.
And it went through it. The cycle was oversold here, but we're not looking to go long until we establish support and resistance again here. Again, it kept going down and down and down and down, and finally it printed resistance right here. Support was up here. Resistance is down here. It needs another support. It's right here. Printed a resistance here, and it went right through it. So the one move that we had that we could have taken that was in sync with the support and resistance was this one right here. This move down off of resistance right here. Okay, that was at 9 o'clock. That was the crude. Now, let me move over here to the 6E. The 6E had about the same time frame. Similar stuff going on.
I checked the wire because gold did the same thing, silver did the same thing, and I didn't see anything out there that...
Nothing, huh?
Yeah, from a news standpoint in that time frame.
Yeah, see, it was pretty choppy this morning in the wee hours. Hey, did you see the lunar eclipse?
No. It was snowing, so I was trying.
Oh, I forgot
about
that.
I was awake for it.
I was, too, but it was snowing here, too, so...
Yeah, it's like, I was hoping
to see anything. My daughter was all upset with me because I told her, I promised her I'd wake her up. it was 2:47 or something like that, and I went to wake her up, and there's no reason to. Now, this was the 60 this morning. It was going into resistance off of support here. So we're looking for a new resistance right here, and it moved up, then off of resistance here, but we needed a down close, and we didn't get one of those over here. Got some support, then it was just all mixed up in here. And we got a down move about the same time off of resistance right here. We would have been going short right here, but probably would have gotten out, flattened out over here, scratched out of it before it actually had the down move that made some money. And that brings it to where it is right now. And what time is it? 9:29. So the ES is about to open up right now. Or the Dow is about to open up. U.S. market. So we'll see what kind of an effect that has on it. I mean, you can see right now everything's going sideways. We have a little bit of a gap here from yesterday, right?
What's
good to fill in.
Okay.
Is it about a 5-point gap here?
Yep.
But
again, that gap happened on 30,000 contracts.
Yeah, I know. That's see how the market is going to go today. Soybeans.
And we're off.
And there's the bill. Let's go back here. Yeah, big difference, huh?
Well, put your seatbelt on.
Yeah, I know. I know. Hold on tight.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, gold. Pretty flat. So we really don't have anything going on here right now. Anywhere.
Just based on price action alone, a pullback to 1245.50, 1246. Looks like a pretty good entry for just a short little long trade. And that's not based off any indicator. The indicator set, just looking at price action. On a smaller time frame. And then if 45, if 45 gives way, then probably we've seen a high short term, and we'll take out that little shelf of support at 45. But if yesterday is any indication of what we could see today, then I mean, it was very interesting how that first half hour was so it's like somebody forgot to set, the world forgot to set their alarm clock. Because the market, you know, normally wakes up when the bell rings, but it was after the first half hour that actually, there was, and, you know, as the day wore on, there was actually a pretty fair range. What did we end up with for a total range yesterday? 10 points? 9 points?
Was that, yeah, I think you're right, 34 to 45. Yeah, so by the well, we had that move overnight that knocked it down to 34, and then we climbed out of the hole. But then, yeah, we had about 12-point range.
That's insane.
Hey, Michael, you got your charts up. Let me ask you a question. I know you got to run. If I were to bring up my charts at some point, mm-hmm. am I then mm-hmm. able to push the charts back to you without you being there to accept them?
No.
No. Okay.
No. But what I can do is give you the keyboard and mouse, so if you want to play around on my charts, you can. You want to do that? I don't have anything else open here, so it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. No. We'll just go ahead and leave your charts up.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know how long this thing that I got to go to is going to last, but I should be back. I should be back before lunchtime anyway.
Are you planning to actually come back on the air?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my plan.
I didn't think.
But I know you're probably going to take off while I'm gone.
Yeah, I'm going to take off here as soon as I talk to David Williams.
Okay.
I'll watch this thing trade for a little bit, but.
All right. Yeah, I'll come back and see what it's doing. I mean, if it's doing nothing, it's doing nothing. But
one thing we need to do. I happened to pop in yesterday afternoon, and I wasn't able to get on, but I saw in the chat box a couple people had come in and typed in. Hey, what's going on? There's no volume. There's no sound. Is anybody home? We need to figure out how to post a sign for people who pop in later in the day.
Not just
today, but I mean like every day when we take our break.
Okay.
If someone new comes along.
Here, I'll show you. Hang on a sec. This is pretty primitive, but I'll show you what I do.
I usually just type it on my chart. I don't know if you can get much more.
Yeah, but then the charts
that.
Move. But you can put a little notepad thing right up here at the top. Type a little message right in there. That's what I usually do.
That's less primitive than writing on the chart.
but out to lunch.
Yeah, gone to lunch. But, you know, there will be no volume for the rest of the day, or there will be.
Because people
be no
are like rebooting their computers and going out and buying new speakers because they can't hear anything. You know, we should just let them know there's nothing to hear right now.
Okay. problem now, then, is how to make this something that you can actually put up there when, you know, if I leave right now and I leave my charts up, then everything's okay because you're still here. If you take the charts over, then you can leave a note in your room if you want to. But I don't need to leave a note right now because you're still going to be here, right?
Yeah, that's true.
The only alternative is to give you the keyboard
and
mouse
and
you can type in whatever message you want.
Can you hold on for me 1 second?
Sure.
Too much. Hold on.
And, well, it sounds like I'm doing a million things at once. I am. So go Bears, huh?
Yeah, they put a whooping on the Vikings last night.
They did. They did. They took out their vengeance on the
True.
Okay. Well,
we
Vikings were...
Lack of
they're doing...
Yeah, that's true.
Go ahead. I interrupted you twice.
No, I was going to say they lacked in the division, so at least we get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not sure how far we'll go, but we could say we got there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I gotta go.
All right.
Hold on the fort.
Back now.
You heard that?
Yeah.
All right.
She was pretty cool about it.
Yeah. She's leaving without me.
All right, brother. You are in our prayers.
All right.
Well, is today the big day?
No. That's tomorrow.
Oh.
That's tomorrow. Tomorrow is the big day. This is something else today.
Oh, right. I thought that was today.
Oh, no. It's tomorrow. Tomorrow. But thanks for the prayers. I need them.
Yeah, I would.
We'll see what Jenny does to me tomorrow. All right,
like one of those kids they drag to the doctor's office to get a shot.
Up
no,
on
I'm
the rooftop.
I don't want a shot. I don't want a shot. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. All right. I got to run.
Right.
She's going to leave without me. I'll see you guys in a little while, maybe.
All right, man.
I'll leave my charts up for you.
Take care.
All right. We'll see you.
All right, Bert. Here we are.
That's just us. What are we going to do?
We
could yell at each other and fight. No, not Leslie and I.
All right, looking kind of like that 47 area. Said the 45 to 46 was a potential area to be long for a little bounce, but if that failed, then we might have already seen the high, at least for the early going here. On the 2100 tick, the cycle's rolling over, developing a red envelope, got a red MA1. But this early action, which I usually never even attempt to trade, can be volatile and it can just spike back and forth.
Especially today.
And the S&P cash, that double top that was in at 12.25. That's been taken out now. S&P cash trading 12.50.75.
Yeah. I have David's window up, and he's not even broadcasting.
I had thought he was going to still put out support and resistance levels, did he?
Yeah, he's got the panel up.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's...
That's all he was going to do?
I think that's all he was going to do.
All right. I'm going to shut it down.
I'm not... positive, but I think. All right, on the 5-minute intraday chart, we had a gap open. We had a red candle, a green candle, and now we're building a red candle. And at 45.46, you know, the gap, to go down and close the gap, we need to see 12.42 and a half, I think it is. But
do you have your charts up, Dwayne? Because I'm seeing Michael's.
Yeah, the only problem is he's got all the charts for the different markets there. I don't have mine configured that way. If I take it over to my charts, then when I leave, people will only be left with one market. So I just thought, that's why I asked him the question, if I could push the charts back to him.
Okay.
And without him being there to accept them. And unfortunately, I can't. So, yeah, I was going to use my charts for a little while. And here we go. We're getting that push up now. So, if we... Yep. There we go. This is 47. And if we take out the overnight high... At 47.50. 47.5. And that's, that area's broken, and the door's wide open to 51.52. Nothing standing in the way as far as a weekly level goes.
And I'm going to go get a cup of coffee.
All right.
All right. Be right back.
Anyone out there has any questions, comments, anything you want to share, type it in. We're going to be here. We asked David to show up early. I wish you were here now. But he's not. So we're going to hang out a bit till he does show up. And then it's holiday mode, and it's going to be the same scenario tomorrow. And then there'll be no broadcast Thursday or Friday. Monday, we will... Are the markets open Monday? So better check the old holiday schedule. Anybody in the audience know if markets are open on Monday? I just assume they would be. I know I've got a holiday calendar here somewhere. So if the markets are open, we'll be here. Okay, this opening range is defined by 45 and a quarter on the downside and 47 and a half to the upside. A break in either way, in either direction. I was looking for my holiday calendar and I don't see it. And we'll ask Bert when he comes back from coffee. He, of all people, should know. 2100 tick, the cycle is not quite rolled over. And we do have a blue envelope there closing up on Michael's chart. All right. New Year's Day, January 1 in 2011 falls on a Saturday. The rules of the applicable exchanges state that when a holiday falls on a Saturday, it's observed the preceding Friday, unless the Friday is the end of a monthly or yearly accounting period. In this case, Friday, December 31st, 2010, is the end of both a monthly and yearly accounting period. Therefore, the exchanges will be open that day and the following Monday. Richard, thank you. Very good. So that tells us that the market will be open New Year's Eve and on the Monday immediately following. Now, how about Christmas, Bert? Will the market be open next Monday?
It will.
It will. And Christmas Eve, will it trade a half day or will it be closed completely?
Friday we're closed. Wednesday it'll be abbreviated schedule. I think equities will be open.
You mean Thursday?
Yes, correct.
Okay, because Christmas is on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Friday, completely closed on Friday.
Correct.
Thursday, holiday schedule.
Correct.
Okay. Okie doke. And then, based on everything I just read that came from Richard, as far as the New Year's goes, it will have a regular day on Friday.
Correct.
And a regular day on Monday, which will be the third day of January, 2011. The market's still in this little opening range here. 45 and a quarter on the downside, 47 and a quarter on the upside. 47 and a half is really the top of the range that was created pre-market. We've got 12 minutes left. Here, we'll see if we can catch Ben snoozing on the floor. Hey folks, we're live on the floor of the exchange.
20 minute out, 6 tap, in out, 6, 20 bid. 20 bid. Half bid now, best bid, 6 half, 680. 6 half bid, over at 680. 6 half bid here for you, 6 half, 680. At 70 over now, half bid at 70, and a 6 half bid at 670. 6 half, 670. 70 over, 70 spading it out at 7, even over now, 6 half at 7. At even, 7 even. Bid now, Bash. Nothing. Trade except.
Here we go. Testing top of the range. Okay. Testing the pre-market high. 1247.50.
Pushing towards high print, 720s, new trade. We got a 30-minute now best bid here once again, 30-minute and a half. 30-minute over that, 7.5 off here now, 30s, new fade. We didn't get a 30 print in here, 7 even, 730 once again, and an even bid, 20 offer again, best off here. Now, we saw 40 bid. They did not trade, though. We got 30 offer, 30s fading, and now 20-minute and a half. There's your 30 print, 30s just trading local here now, even to minute now, 7 even, 730. 7.30 I print here now, half off for best off, 20 minute now, 7.5 again, 47.20 and 47.5. 20 minute and a half, yeah, 30s are trading it now, 7.20, 7.5. 7.5 off for best off. Halves new train, local train. New I print.
Crude's climbing, 6E's climbing.
7.20 minute, 7.5.
Need to see 47.75 on the S&P.
7.5 off or even to bid it now. 7 even, 7.5. At a half. At 30, 30 off or now even to bid it now. 7.5, your recent high print here again. 47.5 high print in here now. 20 minute and a half. 30, 10, 42 trade here now. 20 minutes. 7.20 minutes, 7.5 offer. Half offer. 7.5 offer, even to minute now. 70 minutes, 7.5. 7 even bid. Even bid. Half offer, 20 minute now, 7.5. Halves trading it out, Coleman small off the local 5.5, trading it out, half inch, best bid, 7.5, 780. Solomon on the AB off.
All right, that's it. We took out the pre market high. Just traded 12.48. The door is officially open to trade up to the next weekly trading zone at 12.51/12.52.
Half bid, 780. Half bid. Half bid here, 70 off and now best off, 7.5, 770 off for best. Again, 20 minute now, recent high, 770 once again, 47.70 high print, 7 even, 730 off for now best. Even bit of 30. At 20. Even the bid now, 7 even, 720. Seven even bid over that, 720. 20 off for best offer, 7 even, 720. Even sorry, trading it out, local trade, 670 bid at 7 again, at even again, 7 even off, 670 bid at 7. Even to do trade, even bid at 20. Solomon sells some 7/10ths, just a handful here, 10ths, trading it out, 7 even, 720. Coleman's going to sell some evens, he does. Evens are trading it now. Solomon and Coleman both sold 7 evens and 7/10ths. You're now reaching here just off high prints again, 770 to high print, 8670 bid at 7.
Very light volume trade, 221,000 contracts.
Add 7 even. Add 80 offer, best offer, 6.5, 680. 6.5 and at 80. 80 offer, best offer, down to the 6.5, bid offer at 680. Half bid here for you, once again, 6.5, bid at 680. 6 half, then at 680.
Yeah, up here on Michael's 2100 tick chart, you can see we spiked that resistance area. The red dots. I realize you can't see my pointer, so even though I'm pointing, on the middle chart, 2100 tick, you can see the red resistance dots printing. We spiked it. Now we're pulling back. This 21 EMA should hold a support. If it doesn't, then it's going to take out those support dots and we trade lower. So this will be a key area right as price. Right now it's getting back to that 21 period EMA. Will that hold a support? On the 2100 tick chart of Michael's, again, that's the middle chart. We've got a new resistance dot. So we just printed higher resistance. So now we do have something that stands in the way of a move to 51.52. Certainly not a brick wall. It's one resistance dot at this point. The market should have a little difficulty getting through it if this 21 EMA holds. Should it hold? Should the market press higher? 51.52, that is our highest weekly trading zone. Odds of the market breaking above 51.52 and holding, the historical odds for that to happen are not good. Could happen. Has happened a few times. Although it's not drawn on Michael's chart, the 44.45 is a weekly trading zone, so that's providing support right across the bottoms of what you can see are the candles here. Bottoms of the blue candles across the screen on the middle chart, that's the 44.45 weekly trading zone. That's currently serving as support. And next higher level, 51/52. And we've got our first 30-minute candle. It's a belt hole pattern. Uh, were it red, it would be bearish. The fact that it's green makes it somewhat indecisive. And so I'm going to continue for the market to at least attempt to trade higher. High on the session, the day session so far, 1248. Pre-market, we had 4750. So we've added two ticks to that in the first 30 minutes. For the first 30 minutes of trading, we had a high of 1248, a low of 1245 and a quarter. So the first 30-minute range is a little bigger than yesterday.
Six half, Bob, we're down. I'm at 20 bit here now. 620, but it's six half. Half bit, six half, 680. Half bit at 80. Six half bit, Auburn at 7. Even half bit here for you, six half at 7. At even again, 7 on for six half at 7. At 7, 7 off, 670, but at 7, we got local bid, local bobber, real quiet in here now, 670, but at 7, even real quiet morning here now, 670, but at 7. At even. 670, but at 7, even. At even again, 70 minutes off, 670 minutes, 7. At even. Six, 70 minutes, 7. Six, 70 minutes off, and then 70 minutes off, and again, 670 minutes, 7.
Seven. For those of you that were tuned in prior to me sending the charts over to Michael, that price channel that we drew on the 10K chart, we are smack dab in the middle.
Wayne?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Actually, a few people called up.
Well, we put in a new high by two ticks. We took out the pre-market high by two ticks from 47.5 to 48. And now we've got resistance printing up at 48. And on the middle chart here, the 2100 tick that Michael's showing on the ES so far for 1, 2, 3, this will be the fourth candle. 2100 has served as support. However, we've got the MA1 turning red, got the cycle turning red, got no momentum strength to the upside, that's waning. So this is kind of a make or break area here. We have to push up and put in a new high, or if we take out the low at 45.50 on this 2100, you can see this pullback low at 45.50 that took us to the new high at 48. You can see this big red candle. There was a pullback to 45.50. And then we moved up to put in a new high at 48. Price action right now in the middle, being supported by the 21-period EMA. The 21-period EMA gives way, and we take out that swing low at 45.50. Then the door is open to go back and test support at the 41.42 weekly trading zone. If we can take out the 48 and put in a new high, then the door remains open to go up and test the 51.52 weekly trading zone. If we take out the swing low at 45.50, that closes the door for the move up. Crude consolidating right here, trying to make another move up. Six E consolidating, rolling right. Now this is a trade that Michael would have probably taken right here on the crude. Press through support, pull back. And he'd probably be looking to get out of it right here.
Drilling out long right there when it penetrated the green support line?
Yep.
Oh yeah, because it's blue, okay.
Definitely be out. Hey guys, just if you're taking notes, if we break 48 on the upside, then you have a potential long trade to the 51.52 zone. On the downside, if we take out that 45.50 swing low, then the door is open for a short trade down to the 41.42 support area. So those are the two options. And until the market breaks one way or the other, then you're just picking a side. And I've been to people with the horse races before that say, well, I want to bet on the number 10. Well, why? Well, because I like the color of his jersey, or whatever they call it, his racing suit. Okay. Or you can flip a coin. Because you have conflicting things right now. You have the cycle red and rolling over, but you have the 21-period EMA still acting as very good support. The resistance just overhead at 48. So what I'm suggesting is that a trade, to put on a trade in here, you're guessing. You're just guessing which way it's going. And I realize that no matter which way it ends up going, we have no way of knowing what's going to happen next. But based on the indicators that we're using here in this trade setup, you can't say that the odds are in my favor based on because you have conflicting things going on. And when things conflict, then the wind is not at your back. Doesn't mean you can't take a trade, because you are the master of your domain. You can put on a trade, take off a trade anytime you want, as long as there's money in your account. Is that the best way to do it? No. Kind of like Paul wrote, he says, I can do anything, but not all things are good for me. The crew did actually end up making its move to the upside. Have you heard from David at all this morning, Albert?
I haven't.
Hey, David, if you're tuned in, if you're listening, please pop on in so we can hear what you might want to share. And then we'll leave Bert to answer his busy phones.
Yeah, they're buzzing. I'm actually you should see my desk.
It's clean?
My desk is going to look as clean as yours by the end of the week.
I got to say that, you know, it's been a week now, almost. Well, it seems like. And the only thing on my desk, other than the necessary instruments and a coffee cup, is a little flashlight and the instructions to my son's Xbox 360 Guitar Hero 5. Because the print on that thing is so small. I had my glasses. I had a light on in my office. I had a flashlight trying to read the print. Then I figured out I could go online and just pull up the manual and blow it up. It's a PDF. You know, you could just blow it up to like 1,000% and actually read it. And we never actually got it to work. We got as far as the plug-in, the Xbox 360 headset or a microphone, and we never managed to get past that screen. So... any of you Guitar Hero fans out there, help. But other than that, my desk is clutter-free.
The kids can figure it out.
No, man. My son and his friend, who's 13, they finally broke down after a couple hours. It came and they said, Dad, will you help? And when a kid asks you to help with a video game, you know there's a problem. Because, man, they're just so intuitive with all that stuff. And I went in there and looked at it, and I plugged it in where it was supposed to be plugged in. And it's one of those things where you know you're just kind of overlooking the obvious. You know, later you're going to go, duh, how did I miss that? But so far I haven't had that moment. I'm still stuck. Keeps telling me I need to plug in the headset, and it's plugged in. All right, on the ES2100 tick, you can see that red candle painting there. Cycle, red, rolling over. Now, Michael does not have the 44-45 support zones, weekly trading zones, on his chart. But they're there. So the issue with this short trade is that we're going right into that area of support. And even without the zones, you can just look back and look left, and you can see where the support area is. That swing low at 45.50. And then the previous swing low was at 45. So if the zone were there, you would see that that's got to get through that. But if the market gets through that, if price trades below that area, then the next zone down is 41.42. So there's a shot to take a couple points short or long once we break 44.50, or actually 44, to the south or 48 to the north. Or you can be a range trader and trade it that way. Because top and the bottom are defined, 44 and 48. John, I'm telling you, life with a clean desk is just awesome. Yes, man. Because I found that there were so many other things I was putting off. It was like, man, I need to go do this. Oh, yeah, but my desk is such a mess. Oh, okay. All right. But now that the desk is clean, I'm not saying I've gotten all the other tasks done, but at least I don't have that excuse anymore about the desk. So, and you know, every time I go through this process, it's so cathartic, and I feel so much better, and I'm like a new man, and I'm never, ever, ever, ever going to let it get in that condition again. And then I do. It's kind of like Paul wrote 2,000 years ago. The things I try so hard not to do, I end up doing. And the things I try so hard to do, I end up not doing. So, me and my desk. There's a sonnet or a ballad or something in there. I really would like to learn how to... I mean, I know how to clean it. I don't really... It's not fun, and I put it off, but I know how to clean my desk. The skill I need to acquire now is keeping it clean. Because the mail comes, and it's like, okay, I need to call this person, I got to do this thing. If I put it away in a file, then I'm going to forget. And so, I mean, I've got all these files already with immediate action. You know, is the label on one. Act now is the label on another folder. They got cobwebs inside of them. So. Did I mention that some people in the world don't have clean drinking water today? Yeah, true story. Large percentage of the world's population, and I'm whining about how do I keep my desk clean? So sometimes we really got to get out of our own head and look at the bigger picture. Okay, David, we love you, but we're not going to wait forever. Come on, buddy. Please.
You know, the only time I talk to him is if I call over to the his desk or 888 number.
Oh. Yeah, I'll shoot him a text.
Look at this.
Okay, there goes a text. We should hear back from him here in a minute. Unless he's sleeping in. Okay, at 21 EMA held. Still got the cycle red and rolling over on the ES. Crude's trading higher. 6E trying to catch a bid. Got a support dot printing there at 45.75. So we got the resistance overhead at 48. So again, if you're scalping ticks, you can scalp inside the range until the range breaks. Well, you know, John, I need a little more practice at it first. because my method, I don't necessarily, what we should have is a professional organizer come on as a guest and teach us all, because my method, I don't think it's the best method, because I just like shove everything into folders. I mean, I write the name on the folder of what the stuff is, and then I file it alphabetically. But then I get confused in what category it should go under and what name it should go under. Okay, I have a folder for the different banks I do business with, and then when a statement comes in for the hard copy for a wire transfer to the orphanage, does it go in the bank folder? Does it go in the orphanage folder? Does it go in the 501c3 folder? Or does it go in the tax return folder? You see my dilemma? I need folders inside of folders, and, God, I miss my secretary. I mean, she filed like Radar O'Reilly, but at least I had somebody to yell at when we couldn't find stuff. Okay, there we go. We just tested the 1248. Took it out by a tick. Yeah, on the 10K, the 21 pure DMA held price for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100, 10, 20, 30, 130,000 contracts. Okay, we've now taken out that previous high. We just printed 48.50. So pre-market high was 47.50. First half hour, we got up to 48. Second half hour, we got up to 48.50. If we continue to progress at two ticks per half hour, by midday we'll have that 51-52 weekly trading zone, and we'll intersect with the top of that price channel that we drew on the 10K before I push the charts over to Michael. On the 10K, we've got a blue envelope. We've got green trend strength, although it's a little stretched at this point. It's blue and it is green, so that's bullish. And on the cycle, we're blue and climbing.
We're also holding the 21 EMA, right?
Yep.
We had the bullish cross this morning and yep. Trading above that 21 EMA.
Yep. Yep, after the bullish cross, price pulled back into the 44.45 weekly zone, caught support, bounced, came back, tested the 21, and on each pullback to test that 21, it's held. If all you learn from this week's episode of Lackluster Trading is that on the 10K chart, the 21 period EMA holds more times then it doesn't. There's an edge in trading right there. Does a 21 period EMA always hold? No, of course not. Does it hold more often than it doesn't? Yes. In other words, once you get a bullish cross, if you do a historical look back, you'll see that it'll hold a number of times before you finally get a bearish cross. And then guess what? It holds a number of times in that direction. In Okay, so we're going to give this to bottom of the half hour. I didn't hear back from David. I realize it's extremely early there for a man living a life of luxury in sunny beaches of Southern California.
Or the top of the Bellagio or wherever his office is.
It's in a little industrial park.
Is it?
Well, that's what he... I'm only saying that because he said that on the show before.
Oh, okay.
For all I know, it might be in the penthouse of the Bellagio, but on the show, he said it was in a little industrial park.
Yeah, the closet.
Yeah. We now have 300,000 contracts traded, 309,000. That's since midnight. Okay, I'm looking back over to Michael's charts. That mid chart, the 2100, you can see how the 21 period EMA held up there as well as on the 10K. Although we had the cycle turning red, we never did fully make that hook down. On the DMT, we never got a red envelope. It started to close. We lost our bullish strength, and all of a sudden, we had a pierce from the bottom. We've got support dots below us, but right now we've got no resistance dots overhead. Not yet. So back to the initial comment that I had at the beginning of the show, which was potentially buying somewhere in that 45.50, 46.50 range. In hindsight, we can see that that worked out pretty good. But again, that's hindsight. I didn't take the trade. Just pointed out that it would be a potentially an entry spot. And that was based on looking left and seeing that since 2 a.m. exchange time, at 45 level, it held, and held pretty well. we've talked lately about the market profile numbers and the days that they come into play, and days that they don't come into play. And today is a day where the value area high for today is 1244 and a quarter. Now, that price was in fact tested and touched on the overnight. But they tend to live and die by those numbers in the intraday session. So, again, I'm not a market profile guy, but I have respect for the work and the fact that it's one of those situations where, you know, some days the numbers give you a beautiful trade, some days they don't, and how do you know which day it's going to be? Now, what you could see is if price pulls back down to the 44.25 in RTH, regular trading hours, which is what we're in now, it might be support again. And so a market profile guy would go, ha, see, told you, okay, that's fine. It's also a weekly trading zone, so I could go, ha, see, told you, but what's the point of all that? You can just look left on your chart and see that on the overnight session that the 44.45 was support. So now you're not depending on any kind of a magic number, whether it's a weekly trading zone or a market profile number or any other number. It's just obvious. Okay. Price found good support in that area. People were willing to pay that price for this contract. So if price comes back to that price, there's a chance that there will be some people who are still willing to pay that price, but who don't want to pay this higher price. That's how price got back to 44.45. So one is relying on a forecasting type method, the other is relying on historical information. Now, the historical information is used to create the forecast, but there's still a difference. And can the two be blended together? Beautifully. You got a market profile number, a weekly trading zone, and obvious support on the overnight. That's a trifecta. I mean, unless the market just dropped like a rock through that 44.45 zone, then not attempting to buy it on any kind of confirmation for a retest of today's high would be, I don't know, it would be, I guess, your choice to do it or not. But if I were sitting here in front of the chart trading, I'd be looking, if price came back to the 44.45, I'd go, okay, weekly trading zone, value area high for today, oh my goodness, and that was the low pre-market of the London session. Any kind of thing that gives me any hope of being long, I'm probably going to take it, manage the stop, manage the risk, try to get long. May work out, it may not, but it's a good opportunity. Question is, will the market come back and test that before it does the 51.52? Now, where we've stopped here at the 49, or 48.75, is that where we stopped? We stopped at, 48.75. I got nothing there. Other than the high of the day. For those of you that were not tuned in earlier, when I drew that price channel on the 10,000 contract chart, I connected the low The low at the price of $12.35 on yesterday. On the overnight session before London open, price came down to the 12.35-36 weekly trading zone. I connected that to the low yesterday morning at 36.25. I then paralleled that line and drug it up to the pre-market high yesterday, which was in the 44/45 weekly trading zone. And if you put those on your chart, and if you're running a 10K chart, then just watch to see if we do go to test the 51.52. If we stay inside of that channel and start to roll over, then you got a good shot at trading back to the 44.45.
Wayne, you prefer a certain time frame over the other?
Well, In this plotting market that we've had, the 10K seems to be a really good guide of where we're going, where we're headed, what we're doing. You just have to be ever so patient.
Right.
In a more normal market, I really like the 2100 tick when we have the market swinging and channeling the way it normally does, and which I believe it will ultimately return to, hopefully sooner than later. The 2100 mimics a 3 minute an awful lot of the time, and if I only had one chart I could trade, one time frame, if I had to throw everything else away, I'd probably have to go with the 5 minute, which I don't bring up or display that much, because all the other different time frames have their own nuances. Things I like, things I watch. But if I had to just be locked into one thing, I would probably want to be watching what the majority of other traders are watching so that I can see what they're seeing, because people are going to behave certain ways when they see certain things, and you want to be able to either trade with that or against it, but you need to know what they're seeing. I do really like a 3 minute. It's a little quicker than a 5 minute. You get a heads up on what's happening sometimes before the 5 minute guys. And 5 minutes is still a quick time frame. A lot of traders don't look at anything smaller than a 30 minute. And some traders even consider 30 minutes to be quick. 2100 tick, that's really fast. So would you say
someone just beginning, or just, let's say, is watching the program from the get-go, would you encourage them to start with 10K and the 2100 and forget about, you know, the 500 tick and the...
If someone who's just starting out trading gets in too small of a time frame, you're gonna get battered pretty quick, because you don't have the reflexes. You're not nimble enough. You're not familiar enough with your platform and with charts and with prices to maneuver in and out. Now, if you're trading with hard stops, if you're bracketing your order, you won't blow up your account right away, because it takes a long time to get stopped out of your account. It just does. If you're trading without a stop in those small time frames, you'll find that you spend most of your day praying the market comes back. Praying it just comes back to make you whole. Oh God, just bring me back to break even. I'll never trade again. At least not today. That kind of thing. So I would encourage newer traders, people who are just getting started, to look at the larger time frames. Look at the 10K. The 2100 tick in a normal market enables you to take advantage of what you see inside of the movement of the 10K. But for a new trader, if they were going to watch just one chart, then I would say watch the 10K and really develop an understanding for that. and then you can get a feel for how smaller time frames operate inside of that. But then I would have to say, don't get tunnel vision on a 10K. You got to go out and look at a 30-minute from time to time, see how that's shaping up. So I don't think there is any one time frame that you hand somebody, Bert, they're going to develop tunnel vision for that time frame and be oblivious to what's happening above and below. And that's something that Lance teaches in his book, in his course, and I highly recommend that to folks. We all hear about multiple time frames, that we have, you know, three different time frames, or different people teach different things, but a pretty common thread is that you have three time frames that you watch, and you wait for all three time frames to be in sync, and you take a trade. Actually, Lance teaches multiple time frame analysis, but he teaches you to wait for one of those time frames to actually be out of sync. Now, I'm not going to, you know, spill his course on the show. Encourage people to go. He makes so much material available for free that you can go, you can read the free material, and if you think the guy knows what he's talking about, then maybe you want to spend the money for his course. It's $200. So, you know, to invest $200 in a career that you're pursuing, that's, you know, it's a lengthy book. It's going to take you a while to get through it, but it's not anything complicated, and it's not anything that your charting platform won't support, because he doesn't do almost, well, the name of the book, the course, is Price Action Trading, and so he's teaching you to watch price. But what's one of the really critical parts is that multiple time frame analysis. Everyone I know teaches you want to get all three in sync. If it's an uptrend or a downtrend, when they're all three in sync, well, I'll just say this much without, you know, again, I don't want to spill his course on the book because that's not fair to him. But by the time all three get in sync, guess what? One of them's getting ready to change. Because, okay? The market's only trend. The S&P 500 trends like 20% of the time. So once you get all three in sync, guess what? You got a really small window there. So I have to leave it at that, out of respect for him. So go look at all of his free stuff he's done, all the free articles he's written, and then you can decide if you want to pay for his book or not. And in fact, his book, he gives you a money back guarantee of some kind if you don't like it once you've read it, or if you're one of those guys who goes out and buys the 79 or 179-inch big screen TV to watch the Super Bowl, only to take it back the following day. If you're that guy, you know, just don't bother. I was talking to my friend who runs he gets all the returns from Costco, and he told me, I was out to see him this weekend, and I said, you don't have any, because that's where I got my 47-inch flat panel that I use to trade on, that's mounted on the wall. I said, man, you got no flat panels. Not that I need another one, I just always like to see what he's got. He goes, yeah. He goes, this time of year, he goes, I don't have any. He goes, but come back after the Super Bowl. He says, I'll have them wall to wall. Because Costco has a policy that when people return something, they don't put it back on the shelf. It goes to guys like him. He has a contract with Costco to get all of their return merchandise, the stuff that's in good shape or a little scratched or dented or damaged, but, you know, he tests it to make sure it works. And so I may add a second 47-incher after the Super Bowl if he's got the right one for me and the price is right. Okay, David didn't text back, and he hasn't popped into the room, so I guess that means that he decided to just... Richard just came in. Who are we talking about? I don't know. I was talking about Lance a minute ago. I just saw the question. And David's not in the room, so... All right, I'm going to wrap it. as I promised I would about this time. I've already gone 15 minutes beyond where I thought I would be. We've traded up to 48.5 overhead. We got a weekly zone, 51.52. A reminder, that is the highest weekly trading zone, 1251/52. What's the brand name on the 47-inch screen? That is, it's a Hewlett-Packard, and it's a Hewlett-Packard used to make 47-inch computer monitors, flat panel. They don't make them anymore. It's called a MediaSmart. However, you can use any. Richard, on the site, if you go to CFRN.net at the top of the page where those little tabs are, you'll see price action trading. I did an interview with him a couple weeks ago, and all of his information is there. His site is yourtradingcoach.com. There's videos. We have his videos on our site, the candlestick videos. And he's written a lot of articles, and he has a course, an ebook that he just published, about 500 pages. I think it's completely, totally worth the money. So go read his free stuff, and you know, you make your own decision. Back to the monitor. You can use any 40. You can use any big screen flat panel TV that you want to mount and use as a computer monitor. A couple things you have to take into consideration. You want the 1080. Let's see, the 1080i, the 1080p. 1080p. That's the better one. You want to have a high refresh rate. You want to make sure that it has a PC input. Now, mine, I originally attempted to hook it up with a DVI cable because that carries both audio and video. The picture quality I got with the DVI cable was not acceptable. When I ran just a plain old-fashioned 40-foot VGA cable, VGA, from the computer to the flat panel, it was pretty good. Then you have to install a free program from Microsoft that's called TrueType, and it walks you through typing in some stuff like the little brown fox, and you keep telling it yes when that looks right, yes that looks right, yes that looks right, man, and then you hit refresh and it's just unbelievable. So make sure it has a high contrast ratio, high refresh rate, that it is 1080p, and that it can handle a VGA video cable. And any flat panel will work for you. If you have any hitches or glitches or problems, if you talk to the guys in the store, they may not be familiar with it. And some may even tell you, well, you know, you're going to get, the quality's not that great. If you put that little free TrueType program from Microsoft in, that fixes the not-so-great problem. Because they're right, without that, it's not so great. And I stumbled across that fix myself on Kim Commando's website. And that's how I fixed the problem. Because I was pretty much ready to take mine back until I did that and got rid of the DVI cable, put in the VGA cable, and then it was everything I had ever hoped and dreamed that it would be. Now, Keith, I'm not saying HDMI won't work. It just didn't work for me. If I plug in the HDMI cables, it's not that great a picture. I go to VGA, it's eye-popping. So there might be something I could do to correct that, but I'm just happy with it the way it is. So and I'm assuming most newer computers have an HDMI out on the video card these days. This machine I had custom built and had it a year and a half now, a little longer, probably closing it on 2 years. So I've got to get the guy to build me a new one, because when this one has run its course. I don't want to be without a backup system. No, John, I've not installed Windows 7 yet. This machine, when it was built, custom-built for me, at an incredibly affordable price, guys, you don't have to pay big bucks for a quote-unquote trading computer. Okay? There are sites that will convince you that you do have to pay big money because it's a trading computer. Well, I'm just telling you, for $600, I had a quad-core computer built with this most awesome video chip, graphics chip put on it. Now, it didn't come with Microsoft Office or any of those kinds of bells and whistles because it was to be just a trading computer. But I'm now not only trading on it, but I run the webinar. I use it as my radio server. I mean, this thing's a workhorse, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I reboot it on Sunday night. That's the best $600 I ever spent. And I really need to get him started building me a new one so I can just have it on ready and on standby. And I guess I will have him put Windows 7 on that new one. Everyone seems to really like Windows 7. It's not like that Vista thing, which I, you know, was unstable, didn't play well with trading platforms, from what I understood. So now John says he uses his HDMI port with the flat panel, and it works seamlessly with a nice resolution, hooked up automatically. Well, see, there you go. And that's really the better way to go if it works for you. It just didn't work for me. I was just so happy when the VGA cable worked. At this point, Ward, I would say the minimum you want is a quad-core processor. The next one I have built is going to be an octa-core. But really, all you need is you need some onboard video RAM. You need a minimum of a quad-core processor. And you need, 300 to 500 gigabyte hard drive, and that's it. You don't need anything else. And anyone that. And this guy here who built mine in Phoenix, he ships around the country, UPS, whatever. So anybody that has an interest, you can email me, and I'll send you his email address, and he can quote you what his current systems are and, you know, what it would cost to ship one to you. And he stands behind them. I mean, I had one little glitch with mine, which really wasn't a glitch. He came out, and he goes, "There's nothing wrong." I go, "Yes, there is." And he rebooted it, and yeah, he's right. There wasn't anything really wrong. So, all right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. We've put in a full 2 hours here, and I feel real good about that. Bert, you still there?
Yeah, I'm just cleaning my desk.
Good man.
That's some emails.
Good job. All right, guys, on this middle chart of Michael's on the 2100 tick, that 21 pure DMA is just, you know, I mean, this is classic stuff. Pull back to the 21, put in a new high. Pull back to the 21, put in a new high. Pull back to the 21. Now, guess what? We need to, right, you said it, put in a new high. That's the deal. And when we stop putting in new highs, then you start looking at that last area of support, which is the 44.45 weekly trading zone. That gets taken out, then it's down to 41.42. All right, we'll be back tomorrow to do our final broadcast of the year. I probably should have something special. special lined up for you, but I don't. I might between now and then, but as
we have a Christmas party, that's what we should do.
Rocking around. Yeah. Maybe I'll get some digital snow and have that falling on the screen. I don't know. Okay. All right, Bert. Well, listen, you have a great afternoon.
Yeah, we'll see you
tomorrow. If you need me, I'm available and reachable.
Okay.
Just not going to sit here and stare at this today. But I'll be around. And all right. All of you out there, holiday blessings to you all. This is the holidays, but it's not, you know, it's not Christmas. It's about, you know, honoring. And I know that according to those who study the sky, Jesus was probably born in like June or July, but we celebrated it Christmas, December the 25th, which I know had its roots in a pagan holiday. I know all of that. Okay. What is it they say? It's the thought that counts. Yeah. So, just keep that in mind. Let that be important. Let that have some meaning to you. And if you've never read the Christmas story from the Bible to your children, let me encourage you to do that this Christmas. You and the family, you just sit together, you know, lights down low. Dad, put your reading glasses on so you can see. If you're like me, the lights can't go too low or you won't see anything, but and read that story to your kids. Even if you've read it to them before, even if you've read it 100 times, read it again. And pray together as a family. That's huge. Best gift you could give your family this Christmas. Thanks so much for tuning in, whoever you are, wherever you are. May God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this, there is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Pastor Dwayne Reeves, and his guests. This information should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed security broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.
Hi traders, I'm Lance Beggs from yourtradingcoach.com. If you're sick of the hype in the internet marketplace, if you're tired of scouring the forums for the Holy Grail system that just does not exist, if you've had enough of the curve-fit systems or Forex robots that never seem to work in the live market environment, well, maybe it's time to take a different approach. Instead of trying to find a simple solution, maybe it's time to actually learn to trade. If you'd like to learn how I trade, visit www.ytcpriceactiontrader.com, where you'll discover a discretionary, short time frame approach to swing trading the futures and Forex markets. You'll find it comprehensively documented in a 6-volume ebook series that's over 590 pages of quality content, including 377 diagrams and charts. The site again, www.ytcpriceactiontrader.com. Happy trading.
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.